Welcome to What's Up in Jeju, where I visit places around the island and talk about what's happening with hashtag Daily K's host, Peter Bint.
So today, for What's Up in Jeju, what are we tackling?
Yes, so Peter, you did mention earlier that you love the outdoors, but I'm talking about like outdoorsmen or outdoors women activities. What kind of stuff do you do when you go and check out the great outdoors?
I love ice climbing. I also love jumping out of planes and
James Bond.
I love kayaking. I love them all, but I've never done any of them.
Yeah. Well, those maybe I'll have to do that for the next season with the outdoor activities, ice climbing. Yeah.
What level of outdoor activity are we talking about? Because, I play football outside. Mm. I might go for a walk or ride a bike, but I don't do anything like extreme.
So that's the reason I kind of coined the term outdoorsman or outdoors woman or outdoors person activities, because these are not rough in it. But when I came up with this idea, I had the idea of one, because I noticed that they are available here in Jeju. And two, for those of you who don't know, I was actually a Boy Scout. So I went through the Scouts all the way to the highest rank of Eagle Scout. And we, did a lot of course, outdoorsmen or outdoors persons activities. And that's where I came up with the idea, because it's here on the island.
Wow. I knew I recognized you from somewhere. You were in that animated documentary Up, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. With my badges and everything. Absolutely. Absolutely. That was me.
Your face was huge back then. Yeah. I'm kidding. So where are you taking us to first? Shall we take a look at the first image?
Yeah, let's go for it. Take a look at the first image here. And so this picture.
Oh, we're going back to the Joseon Dynasty.
Pretty much. So this is at Sungup Folk Village, which is quite out east. And if you take a look at the picture here, as you said, this is traditional archery. Now, if we take a look back at me for map time. You can see it's kind of in the southeastern area. And I mentioned
this is a big folk village.
That's a good question. So, yes, it is. And I mentioned it in the video that we are totally going to do a Village Ventures on it, because the village itself, this folk village, is actually resided. People live in some of the buildings. There are functioning stores and shops and things. So we got to cover it. And we actually had to get permission from the district office of the village to cover this. So we're already in contact with them. Wow. So it's almost a done deal. Like, we got to cover it. And so what we feature in today's episode is just the archery aspect. And we met with Mr. Kim Hyun-gun, and he is the operator of Goblin Archery Range. Goblin as in dokkaebi, the Korean kind of like club wielding, chanting goblin guy.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Kim, he's a certified archer. And not only is he a certified archer in the aspects of Olympic or Western style archery, but also in Korean traditional archery. And that is awesome.
Oh, what we might have seen in some of the saguks, the historical dramas and movies.
Yeah, that's
right. Sounds really fun. All right. Yeah, there are many places to try out archery, not just down in Jeju-do Island, but the backdrop there. It looked beautiful on that sunny day, Mark. Thank you so much. How much are we talking for that experience?
Wonderful experience. I had a chance to shoot, I think, around 30-ish arrows, even more. Just 10,000 per person. So it's a great, and with all that professional instruction for Korean traditional, totally worth it.
Lots of messages coming in about the archery. Siska saying, it must be hard, but I do want to try it. Steve saying, I've been to the Songup village, but I never saw the archery range. So that's, like you said, a lived-in village. So I'm assuming the scale is pretty big. So you might pass it by without noticing, or just go to other parts of the village without getting your attention drawn to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good point. What's really, traditional villages, well, one, this is distinctly Jeju traditional folk, which is unique in itself, but you will find other traditional corners and spaces on the mainland, even in Seoul. But the fact that this is kind of like a one-to-one, not even a recreation of a village, it is just a lived-in village, right? So it's like a one-to-one scale sized village. So it has streets, it has shops, and they all have the traditional folk architecture. And we mentioned that last week when we did the Parents' Day activities with the memory lane kind of park thing, you'll find similar things on other in other parts of the mainland, but because it's Jeju, there's just a lot of literal space to use, so they spread things out. So this is not like crowded, and as you said, you might just miss it because the archery range is a bit off, tucked in the corner there, down a small like wood path with other homes and buildings as well. Yeah.
There are, like you said, many places on the mainland you can try out. One of the famous ones is over at the Suwon Hwasong Fortress.
Yes.
And I've done it out there on the green. I can't remember if the bows, I think they were pretty basic, so maybe more traditional style. But the people who were there, I don't think they were trained archers or anything like that. It just looked like people maybe on their part-time jobs.
Yeah.
Just giving you experience.
Yep.
But it was still so much fun. When you hit the board, there's something so satisfying about that. And kids and older generations alike would love to do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, in being a member of Scouting America, being a member of the Scouts, we were more accustomed to Western style bows and compound bows where it's just kind of like straight up and down. But then there's just so many steps to the Korean traditional. It's like you kind of have to aim it up towards like 11 o'clock and bring it down as you pull, and your fingers need to be, and your shoulder needs to be. And, you know, you kind of have to have all those different steps and remember them all. And by the end, you're just like sweating. And then, you know, hopefully you just hit the board at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, it does seem like a whole process you have to go through, a bit like golf, where if you're a beginner learner, having to think about all those steps is so difficult. But I'm sure if you keep on going back, you'll be a natural in no time. Mm-hmm. For anyone who doesn't know, Korea is often the best team at the Olympics for gold medals.
Yep.
You know, we've got such a history. And so a lot of people say it's almost in our DNA from traditional archery back in the day. There are lots of historical dramas featuring bows and arrows and like Korean Robin Hoods and things like that, for want of a better descriptor.
Yeah.
So where are we headed to next? We're not staying in this village.
No, and as you previewed in part one, it is of the gunpowder variety. So let's take a look at our next photo.
Okay. We've got Daewoo ATV Sudyop Sagyok Lander.
Yes.
That's a mouthful. Yes. So there's ATVs, those little like quad bike kind of things.
Well, here's the thing. So once it is located in the Jungmun area, if you look at me, map time, just real quick, just west to Sogyepo there. My little...
got your little pistol drawn on the map. There. Love it.
Yeah. So yes, it does have ATVs, but Peter, these are... That picture doesn't really showcase the proper ATVs that they have. They have the caged, the bar caged ATVs, the real all-wheel drive off-road ATVs. Now, we didn't get a chance. We didn't have the time to ride around. But folks were coming out of the woods covered in mud, you know. So I guess they were proper. And then, so this land, this park has gun ranges. So there are options to shoot clay pigeons with shotguns, real firearms, pistols, and even semi-automatic rifles as well.
What?
Yes.
You don't usually associate Korea with guns. You know, the levels of gun ownership here are minuscule.
Yes, right.
I think you can in the countryside for hunting purposes.
That's right.
But you need to leave your gun at the police station something like that.
That's right, yes.
But what I found really intriguing was... A Korean friend of mine took me to a shooting range in Jamsil,
here
in the heart of Seoul, in 2011.
Yep.
And if you look for them, they are here and there. I think a lot of them target tourists, especially Japanese tourists, the owner was telling me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such an unbelievable experience. I'm not a gun fanatic at all, having grown up in the UK, but it was really interesting to fire a gun. So... That is really a foreign thing for me. Like, going to that Jamsil gun range was the first and only time I've been. But yeah, I guess if you've grown up with guns, maybe at Boy Scouts and things like that, it would maybe, I don't know how it would feel doing that in Korea, because we're not a nation of gun lovers or anything. Mm-hmm. Although many men, you know, they handle firearms in the army. Mm-hmm. So sure. I wonder if Korean guys love to go and do this as well.
That's a good point. Actually, I noticed you mentioned when you did in Chamcheol, it attracted a lot of expats and foreigners and tourists. But around me, it was a lot of Koreans, like just strapping lads in their 20s and 30s, just rolling in three or four deep. Yeah, Koreans, full on Koreans. Yeah,
and there were people there. It was like relatively busy, not like empty.
Like we went during the week, so I think it was a bit slower. But yeah, there were still people walking around hitting the different ranges and the ATVs as well.
That's so interesting, isn't it? How much is this? I'm assuming more expensive than firing a bow and arrow.
Yes, if you are an enthusiast, you know that ammo is not cheap. So it's not cheap. It's 40,000 won for the clay shooting, and that's per person, and 25,000 for pistols. It's not cheap.
It does, must be more costly because you're destroying those clay pigeons and using up the ammo.
A lot of resources, yeah.
Siska says, a gun shooting course. We have it here in Jakarta. I want to try it, but I'm kind of afraid. And to be honest, when I went and did it, like the power that you feel when you shoot that gun, it was kind of scary at the same time as being like thrilling and exciting. And although it's strapped to a chain, there was enough leeway that if you really wanted to, you could turn it a different way. And I was thinking, is this all right? Can I trust myself, let alone other people? And I don't know. It was so kind of mind-blowing. Josh saying, no chains for me. No, thank you. So I'm assuming in a lot of American ranges that I've seen on TV, there's not a chain attached to the gun.
Yes, true. But I believe in many states, you are required to have a gun license, firearms license to even consider that kind of stuff. Here it's a bit different. So, you know, I'm all for safety first, right? So yes, bike chains here.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, with that kickback, so I you know, essentially... it's the Dirty Harry, the Clint Eastwood gun is the, you know, the six shooter 44 Magnum. And you want to talk about kickback. Uh-huh. Oh, boy. I mean, that's just like a hand cannon.
Wow. Yeah. So you really got to hold it probably. I remember that shocked me a lot. I didn't do anything like that. It was maybe a Beretta or something.
Okay.
But still, the power that comes from the gun.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to control. So I don't know. You don't need a gun license here in Korea, right? You just pay your money and you can go shoot.
That's right.
Sherry's saying there are places in the States you can bring your kids shooting. There is an age limit depending on what state you're in. Back in the day, though, kids went hunting for food too. I wonder, do you know, Mark, if there's an age limit at the Jeju range?
I would assume it's adult, so I would say 19. I could double check on that, but I think it's just safe to assume, like, this is the maybe the ATV things, but even that's a bit off-roady. So this is more of a young adults, adult theme park kind of thing.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think we're safe to say that or assume that.
Yeah.
So we've done archery. We've done shooting. I'm assuming we're building our way up to bazookas now in part 3 or some kind of missile range. Where are you taking us for our third and final destination?
Yes, we're gonna use some TNT. No. We're going to bring it down. Why don't we show our final image here?
Okay, so we've got a lovely creek with boats in it. Oh, we are going to drop TNT into the water, bomb fishing. I've seen that.
Stop, is it not? Oh, it is. Are we back in like the 1700s, 1800s in the Wild West?
Yeah.
No, we're not doing anything like that. No way. Yes.
Okay.
But we are going in the water. We are kayaking. So that's a lot of fun,
ooh,
you know? Yeah, I mean, it
looks very peaceful.
Yeah, super peaceful. Where we're going is Suisugak in the south. So if you take a look at map time here, it's pretty close. It's pretty much the very southern part of Sogepo. And this really lovely kind of water channel where the fresh water meets the ocean. And it's just a lovely, peaceful thing you can do with your family, children, of course. A lot of young couples, old couples, just families out, just enjoying the water. Mm-hmm.
Mark, thank you so much for today. I love outdoorsy stuff. How much was that final kayaking experience?
Oh, yeah. So that was 20,000 for two people. And like I said, 20 to 30 minutes on the water. And if you're a bit worried about your ability to kayak that traditional ferry or the teu, that's 10,000 won for adults and 5,000 won for children.
Fantastic. That's it for today's What's Up in Jeju, Mark. We'll see you again next week.
See you then, brother. What's Up in Jeju is supported by the JDC, which is creating a free international city that resembles nature, embraces the future, and reaches the world. I'm Mark Wilson Che, with writer Che Jung-yun. This is Arirang Radio.